we're talking about the rise in divorce among older Americans. Americans over 50 are twice as likely to get divorced as people in that age group were 20 years ago. But in that same time period, the overall divorce rate has declined.
Our guest calls this the gray divorce revolution. We want to hear from you on this. Are you part of this trend? What has your experience been like? Did you get divorced at age 50 or over? Or maybe your parents? Call us. Tell us about it. What was life like after that divorce? You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
Susan Brown is with us. She's the co-director of the National Center for Family and Marriage Research at Bowling Green State University and co-author of the paper, The Gray Divorce Revolution. Susan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, the divorce rate has doubled, as we said, for Americans over the age of 50. What's going on here? Why are so many older Americans getting divorced?
Well, I think it's a terrific question that merits attention here because really, this shift is quite dramatic. 20 years ago, fewer than 1 in 10 people who were calling it quits were over the age of 50. And today, it's 1 in 4. So 25% of people getting divorced today are 50 or older. We used to think older people don't get divorced. So what's happened to lead so many more people to decide that marriage isn't for them? And I think there are a number of different factors that we could point to. Certainly, one of them has to do with the changing meaning of marriage in the United States. Marriage today is much more individualized. We look to our marriages to provide us with happiness, personal fulfillment, individual satisfaction. And most Americans believe if you're not deriving satisfaction from your marriage, that divorce is a reasonable solution.
So, and that's opposed as maybe in the older days, Our goal in life was to be a husband or a wife, come what may. That was part of who and what we were?
That's right. We actually describe that as a shift from role to self, that historically our emphasis was on being a good husband, being a good wife, and whether or not you were happy was secondary to your ability to effectively perform your role. Today, marriage is all about the self. What is this doing for me? Am I better off in this marriage or not? That's the classic Ann Landers question, but I think that's really what guides us these days. And marriage is much more optional today. It's a personal choice. And as such, if it's not doing it for us anymore, we can move on.
So are you saying that people are deciding marriage itself isn't for them, not just that they're with the wrong person, but that it's the whole institution?
Well, that's a tricky question. I think for some people, it's the individual, their spouse is no longer who they want to be with. You know, to stay married to somebody for 30, 40, 50 years, it's a long time. People change over the life course. And when you experience some of these turning points that characterize later life, empty nest, for instance, retirement, declining health, it may be an opportunity to reflect and take stock on where you are and do you want to spend another 20, 25 years with this person? Because, you know, if you've made it to 60 or 65, you can expect to live another 20, 25 years. And that's a long time to spend with someone you don't like. But the other point you raise is also important because what happens to people who get divorced these days? Well, increasingly, they don't get remarried, and it's because many are disillusioned by the institution of marriage. We can now derive many of the benefits that were traditionally confined within marriage through other relationship forms, such as cohabitation. And increasingly, people just want to live alone. So I think there are more opportunities for us to devise our own paths in life.
You mentioned empty nest syndrome when the kids move away. The old cliche sometimes was the, you know, a couple in difficulty kept it together for the kids. Is it, with gray divorce, is it turning out that a lot of them were held together by the kids that because that's all they had in common by the time they got divorced?
I think that's fair to say that many couples, they're busy raising their children. Of course, more often these days, both wives and husbands are in the labor market, so they have their dual careers. And then comes the quiet time. The kids are out of the house. One or both spouses are retiring, and it's a lot of time to spend with someone if you don't have that much in common. If what was holding you together was rearing your kids and just the busyness of everyday life, once that isn't there anymore, then what's left? And I think that, you know, that ties into another factor that could be driving the gray divorce trend, which is the rise in female labor force participation. women are able to exit a marriage that they're not happy in because they have the economic autonomy to afford to do so.
Are there social support systems that are springing up around the people who are getting divorced? Because it sounds like there's a lot of them, social hubs and clubs and things like that, that are filling the void.
I haven't seen any that are specifically designed to respond to the gray divorce experience. However, we have seen the emergence of online dating sites for older adults. And those have become quite popular. So there's one called OurTime.com. AARP has put out their own dating website. Match.com has subsidiaries that are designed specifically for older adults. So this is definitely a growing market and something that I think will continue to grow.
We'll go to our first caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Mason with us in Rice Lake. Mason, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your take on this gray divorce story?
Well, you know, my parents got married very young. My mother was 16 and my father was 20. And this was in, actually when I was born. My father was 19 and my mother was 15. And I believe that, you know, neither one of them two knew what they really wanted in a relationship. You know, they got divorced when I was 20 years old. You know, I was born in 72. And so now they're both in their, you know, mid-50s, just turning 60. And even to this day, I don't think they really know what they wanted in a relationship. And I think that kind of ties in a little bit with, you know, your dating sites you were just speaking of. You know, people get on there, they're in trouble in their relationship. They look on these sites and they kind of see something that, oh, well, look what I missed out on.
Interesting, Mason. Thanks a lot for the call. So people who got married maybe fairly young, Susan, and now they're trying to figure out who they are after raising a kid and getting divorced at 40 in this case or 50 in the gray divorce stories.
Right. And we do know that early age at marriage is a risk factor for divorce. You can imagine that if you get married at a young age, such as was just described, and is still in your teens, you're probably not fully formed as an adult, as an independent person yet. And it's certainly possible that the couple can grow together, but it's equally likely that the couple can grow in different directions. And I think that can place a real strain on marital stability. And so we do see that marriages formed at early ages are quite likely to dissolve. And we should point out that for the baby boom generation, this was the first group that experienced that run-up in divorce that took place in the 1970s and the early 80s. And so a lot of the boomers who are now in their 50s and their 60s are actually getting divorced not for the first time, but for the second time. So remarriages are more likely than first marriages are to end in divorce, and much of what's driving this gray divorce revolution is the fact that a greater share of older adults today is in a remarriage compared with previous generations.
And how much does it have to do with lifespans? I mean, the fact that maybe instead of being married to someone for 40 years, you could be married to them for 60 years.
Right, and 60 years is a long, long, long time. It's hard for people to even fathom that if they're standing there at the altar at age 25 or 26, pledging to stay together till death do us part. That's a long time to be with somebody. And so certainly our increased life expectancy coupled with our higher standard of living today, I think are key components of why we're seeing this run-up in gray divorce.
We're talking about the gray divorce revolution, people getting divorced after age 50. Our guest is sociologist Susan Brown. She's written on this topic, and we also want to hear from you. Are you part of this trend? Did you get divorced over age 50, or maybe your parents, someone you know? What is the experience like? What is life like after this divorce at a later age than we think of the norm? The data, younger divorces down, older divorces going up. You can join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. And what does this tell us about marriage? You can also email talk@WPR.org.
Now headlines from WPR News with Kristen Durst.
President Barack Obama has signed an executive order allowing the United States to impose financial sanctions in response to the crisis in Ukraine. Obama today is rejecting the referendum that is being planned for residents of the Ukrainian region of Crimea in 10 days, saying it would violate international laws. Pentagon says six U.S. F-15 fighter jets have arrived in Lithuania to bolster air patrols over the Baltics as the standoff over Russia's military incursion into Ukraine continues. A U.S. warship is also now in the Black Sea to participate in exercises that have long been planned. School district superintendents from across Wisconsin testified against a bill that would give the legislature power to approve and write academic standards. Senate's Education Committee scheduled a hearing today on the measure. Republican-sponsored bill would create a new state board tasked with writing model academic standards. For Central Time, I'm Kristen Durst. More news at 4 o'clock.
For innovative exploration of national and international news, tune into Wisconsin Public Television weeknights for PBS NewsHour and BBC World News. At midnight, Charlie Rose engages fascinating individuals in one-on-one interviews. And on Fridays, get analysis of the week's major stories on Here and Now with Frederica Freiberg. For detailed broadcast information, go to WPT.org.
The Joy Cardine Show, The Larry Mueller Show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs and many more are possible thanks to listener support. You can learn about programs, schedules, and so much more at WPR.org. Thank you.
Wisconsin Public Radio is everywhere. On the radio, online, on demand, on your smartphone, on the way to work, on your mind. Go to WPR.org and turn it on.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our discussion now about the gray divorce trend and what it means for American society with sociologist Susan Brown. And we're taking your calls now. Are you part of the trend of the increasing numbers of adults who are getting divorced later in life, past the age of 50? And what is the experience like? Is it a lot different than, say, getting divorced when you're in your 30s or your early 40s? What does it mean to be single when you're older and going through a divorce? Our number, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. What do you think the gray divorce trend says about our society? You can also email us at talk@WPR.org.
Get your calls in just a moment. Susan, before we do that, as a sociologist, we have, in effect, this whole new category of people. How long will it take us as a society to come to grips with this new category?
Well, hopefully not too long, because as this group ages, I think we're going to have some new challenges to meet in terms of providing care. Traditionally, in our society, we've relied on families to be on the front lines, and that has fallen primarily on the shoulder of spouses. But with one third of baby boomers living outside of marriage, single, and we can only expect that number to rise in the future, we have to ask the question of who's going to provide care to these individuals as they age.
I want to go to our phone lines now. We've got Tom joining us from Duran. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hello. I was just going to make the comment that it seems like it's much easier for, at least in our family's case, you know, my father has had a much easier time after the divorce as far as, you know, keeping the same lifestyle up than my mother has. It's been far more difficult an adjustment, you know, from my point of view, watching my mother and father's divorce.
Now, Tom, when you're talking about lifestyle, are you talking about financial matters, or are you just talking about staying active and being social, that kind of thing?
Staying active and being social, and I guess the financial aspect would go along with it as well, although it's not completely different.
Okay, interesting, Tom. Thank you so much for calling. And Susan, does that often happen in gray divorce, that one half of the couple can adjust more easily than the other half?
That's right. I think we can anticipate a range of outcomes, and it will depend in part on who initiated the divorce and what the situation is of each individual prior to and following the breakup. So gray divorce in particular can be quite devastating for older adults from an economic standpoint when you consider that they have little time left to make up any potential losses. We all know divorce can be very expensive. But if you get divorced when you're 30-something, you've got another 20, 30 years in the labor market to recoup those losses. For somebody who's 60 or 65, their days are numbered in the labor force, realistically speaking. And this is especially a concern for women who have been out of the labor market for a long time. If they've been a housewife, for example, their financial resources may be more constrained, and their ability to get employment might also be in jeopardy.
Tom, thanks for the call. We'll go now to David in Dubuque, Iowa. David, hi.
Hello. Hey, I was going to make a couple comments. I am a victim of divorce, and I do think that it is all too easy to get a divorce now, easier now than it ever has been in the past. And I think it's even more feasible because women have decent-paying jobs, so they're not financially strapped to a man as in the past. In my particular case, we were high school sweethearts. We dated for 7 years prior to getting married. Then we were married for 23 years. One afternoon, my ex called the boys upstairs and told them that she loved me. I was a great man, a great husband, great father, but she was bored and wanted to go try to find something to make her happy.
David, thanks for calling in, and I'm sorry about your story, but I wanted to get your thoughts, Susan, on what he had to say. First of all, as a person who's been through divorce, he thinks it's too easy to get divorced. Maybe people are too quick to pull the trigger. Do you get that sense from your research that maybe we take it more lightly?
Well, I think that definitely, you know, every state has no-fault divorce laws. Those have been in place since beginning in the 1970s. That corresponds with that run-up in divorce that we had in the 70s and the early 80s. Now, what's the cause and what's the consequence? We don't know the answer to that. It's just as likely that the changes in the divorce laws really reflect changing attitudes, and that brings us back to the beginning of our conversation when we were describing our shifting expectations for what constitutes a good marriage. And I think that the previous caller provides a nice example of that, that here was someone whose spouse was no longer happy in the marriage, and she wanted a divorce. And I certainly understand why he's saying that that was very difficult, and arguably divorce is too easy to get. And I think it also points to the ways in which we have really placed marriage on a pedestal, and we expect marriage to do a lot for us. If it's no longer enough to be a good husband or a good wife, but now this individual has to, be our best friend, be a good sex partner, the list goes on and on. This is a high bar to achieve, let alone to maintain for decades.
Now, I want to go back, if we could, and just talk for a moment about the numbers again, because we're talking about the number of divorces going up in people 50 and older, but overall the marriage rate is declining, so I'm assuming that younger people are getting fewer divorces. Why is that?
Well, younger people these days are delaying marriage entry, and we're also seeing the marriage entry process as it's much more selective these days in that not everyone gets married anymore. Increasingly, it's those who are college-educated who choose to tie the knot, and the college-educated tend to be more stable, they're more economically secure, and we're finding that thus far anyway, these young people tend to experience fewer divorces. So marriages today that are starting out, young marriages, if you will, seem to be more stable than marriages were 3 and 4 decades ago. Now, what will happen over time? We'll just have to wait and see. And that speaks to the question of will the great divorce revolution continue? But as marriage has become more selective of those who are the most advantaged, it's shifted the likelihood of divorce.
We'll go to Alicia in Milwaukee now. Alicia, hi. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I had a question about the statement that was made about the teenagers getting married and how that was indicative of the marriage not lasting and ending in divorce. Like, the earlier you get married, like, if you're a teenager, then you're more likely to get divorced. But wasn't there a period in American history when that was the norm, that you did get married as a teen? And would you also say that at that time, our society supported, the society supported marriage to a greater extent, meaning you didn't have websites dedicated to cheating and, you know, the things you see on TV and the movies and that type of thing. You know, society in and of itself supported marriage more so.
Thanks for the call, Alicia. So a couple things there. Did society just used to be more marriage friendly?
Marriage was much more universal in the past, and the caller's right that back in the 1950s and even early 60s, people got married at younger ages, and marriages were more likely to last. If we look a little further back in history, though, say to the beginning of the 20th century, marriage age was more along the lines of what it is today. In modern times, people got married in their more like their mid-20s, and marriages were quite stable then, too. I think we have to think about this in a broader context of the meaning of marriage and, as the caller mentioned, what kind of support is marriage getting at a societal or socio-cultural level, too, that could be contributing to the ups and downs in divorce.
It used to be one of the cliches, I don't know, maybe it's a stereotype of why people got married, was that they didn't want to die alone, and it used to be this black looming fear, and so people would say, you know what, I'm going to get married so I don't have to face that. Does that mean that that's not something people are so worried about anymore, and they're realizing that there's all kinds of different ways that the end of life can play out?
That's right. Marriage these days is just one in an array of options. I think that young people today feel less obligated to get married. They know that they can have children outside of marriage. They can live together outside of marriage. So many of the benefits that were once strictly available within marital unions are now widely accessible outside of marriage. At the same time, as I said, we put marriage on a pedestal. We have a very high bar for it. I think, if anything, we romanticize it and perhaps expect too much from marriage these days. And that, ironically, is part of the reason why it continues to be fragile.
Well, I won't ask you to predict the future, but looking at the trends you've seen, the changes you've seen in marriage and divorce, what are you looking for in the coming years? What kind of changes do you see in the next decade or two?
In the next decade, I think the gray divorce will continue to rise as the baby boomers age into older adulthood. Now, for our younger generations, our Gen Xers, our millennials, it's too soon to tell whether they, too, will experience a gray divorce at the levels that the boomers are today. I think that's an interesting question. We could make arguments for yes, they would. We could also come up with arguments to support an assertion that they might be a little different and their divorce rates might actually be a little lower.
And any quick lessons that we can draw from gray divorce about where society's headed?
In my mind, it says to me that the rapid family changes we have seen over the past couple decades are actually permeating across the generations. It's not just young people shaking things up, coming up with new ways to partner or experience family life, but these kinds of changes are also occurring later in life and may have very unique ramifications, and we need to consider how these changes are impacting the health and well-being of older adults and their families.
Susan, thank you so much for coming on and talking about it with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Susan Brown, co-director of the National Center for Family and Marriage Research at Bowling Green State University, talking about gray divorce.
Coming up, a look at the rehabilitation efforts for sick and injured ducks as a result of our brutally cold winter in Wisconsin. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.